Don't
what
be a
are
dick.
You doing?
Don't be a,
no,
be
you're
one of
being
those
a
days.
Jerk.
It's going to be one of those days.
No, you're being a jerk.
Yeah, look, no, it's his extra espresso day. That's what the problem is.
It is.
You made it. It's a Friday morning. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
It is 21 degrees right now, but have no fear.
It's brutal out there.
It's not that bad.
It's cold. 20 degrees is cold.
It's going to warm up significantly.
I know. It's
going to
be nice.
We could be diddling 50 depending on where you are in the greater Rochester area. And hold on for a little while longer because a week from Sunday.
What are they saying?
We will have a high, as of now, of 68 degrees.
Hey, that's summer.
Potentially, maybe. Nice. Maybe potentially.
I'll take 60. I'll take anywhere around that number.
Yeah. We could be near 70.
Yeah.
70. All right. So it's 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are up now, you know, in your car, getting ready to go, you got an early job. People use all kinds of things to wake themselves up to get ready for work. Right?
Okay.
You got the coffee crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You got the energy drink crowd.
Yeah.
And then there are people who need a little more juice to get going.
Cigarettes?
No, more than that.
Oh.
A 74-year-old man.
74.
Was pulled over in Lyons for a routine traffic stop a couple of weeks ago on Route 31.
Yeah.
Just failure to maintain lane.
All right.
Something was suspicious about the traffic stop.
It sounds like he was drifting.
Yeah. What part of failure to maintain lane?
Well, I'm just thinking maybe he's a little wobbly. Okay. Yeah. So, but he's old.
Well, if I asked you what you thought the additional arrest was going to be, you would say?
Alcohol.
Okay. And you're wrong. Because following a search, the 74-year-old man, according to police, was found in possession of 500 milligrams of cocaine.
Damn, Grandpa.
All right.
74-year-old man.
Damn.
500 milligrams of cocaine. He was arrested.
Grandpa Escobar.
Charged with felony criminal possession of a controlled substance in the fifth degree. I don't know anything about cocaine.
Well, you know how it works.
I'm saying I don't know how much 500 milligrams.
Oh, okay. I don't either.
Right? So is 500 milligrams like personal use? Is 500 milligrams I'm selling it to somebody? Because he's not charged with like having enough to distribute.
Okay.
Because, like, here's the thing. It would make more sense to me if he had a lot of cocaine at 74 than having just enough cocaine for himself.
So, like, he was going to sell it?
Yes.
Oh.
Because I know it's shocking to think that there would be an elderly man that's in the cocaine sales game.
Yeah.
Right? But we've started to see older folks getting popped for drugs recently.
Well, they're coming up short on their retirement plans.
Being 74 years old and doing cocaine is insanity.
Not necessarily if he just does a bump. You know, I mean, if he's just a regular casual cocaine user, I mean, he just gets a little hit in the morning to get grandpa up and going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not allowed to have salt.
I know. I'm not.
Yeah.
I gotta watch the salt.
So.
But I don't think there's any salt in cocaine.
No, like, I mean, if you're over the age of like 45.
Yeah.
You have gone to the doctor, and your doctor has told you your body can no longer tolerate average things sold in grocery stores.
Right.
Right? So. To be 74 and doing cocaine.
That's impressive.
I wouldn't call it impressive. I would call it.
I'm a little impressed.
Oh, my God.
I'm just. Well, maybe impressed isn't the word. Shocked.
Shocked. Fair enough.
Shocked
that you
live your life this way and you're still kicking.
But if you've always been, you know, somebody that did drugs, I mean, you just.
Aged, but you
kept going.
But.
What?
It just seems like a tough lifestyle to survive on.
I mean, if he maintains it the right way, it probably.
I think that's what every guy thinks.
That's like, what everyone who died.
Just in small doses, I'll be fine.
Yes.
But I don't know how many, you know, people that are doing cocaine on a regular basis make it to their mid 70s.
Yes, I mean, forget even overdosing.
Day.
Just the damage it would do to your internal organs. Yeah. Mm. Don't even try. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it might do a little something to your nasal cavity.
Your heart, your cardiovascular system.
Yeah, like you can't even have energy drinks.
I think it opens it up for you, right? It's like, old man said, you have a couple of drinks, it's like running a marathon.
Yeah, exactly. Just like that.
Shoo.
The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. And I want to talk through this so you fully understand, because I don't know why you admire guys like this.
Yeah.
Because they're still going. He's 74.
Okay. Kimmy, with this 74-year-old man arrested for having possession of 500 milligrams of cocaine out in Lyons, I would assume, knowing nothing about these allegations, you're not Kimmy, that if he's 74 and doing cocaine, this isn't something he picked up like golf at 70.
It doesn't seem like a type of drug you try later in life, but I guess it's possible. It's possible that maybe he felt like new again after doing it once or twice and then started to implement it.
But where after 40 would cocaine new even show up in your
life? You have plenty of time to like do it, though.
Not that you wouldn't have time.
Yeah.
The connection you would need where cocaine would be a new thing in your life.
I don't know.
Where would that come from? Like what?
A younger person.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, in your estimation. But I don't think that's the case here.
You think that he's been doing it the whole
time? Oh, yeah. So because I started to think of
it. If the allegation.
I understand. My sister's first husband, he lived to about 75, 76 years old.
Okay.
And he was once he got out of the Vietnam War, this guy was a straight up drug user his entire life.
Okay.
In and out of jail. And, you know, all the problems, couldn't hold a job. But he was still doing drugs into his 60s and 70s. Like, I think he was still doing, like, hard stuff.
Okay.
Like, some people just can do it. I mean, you know, it's like that Keith Richards, just, you know, some people are going to die and some people are just never going to die.
But the fact that you named one guy you know. And then Keith Richards.
Yes.
No, because like the way you talk is
I'm building a Mount Rushmore of drug addicts.
No, but that's the point I'm making here is like there's only four in America, and one of them is not even American. Like the fact that like the way you talk, you're almost like, hey guys, why not? Let's all do a little cocaine at 70 years old.
I do look at cocaine romantically because how it was presented in the 80s. You know what I mean?
But I would think like a guy in his 70s that's been doing cocaine that long, like you look at that guy and you're like,
oh, he's got
he doesn't have much left. Like, he's not, I'm not picturing a guy that looks like, you know, a buttoned up dude. Like, they just have a look like, well, you might be on something.
Well, my brother-in-law looked terrible.
Yeah.
I told you, he walked around with a full out exterior body cast because of his spine, but it had, like, all these Jesus and religious stickers on it. But he was still doing coke.
Yeah, keep telling me how romantic it is to do coke. He had a full body cast on.
Hey, but he's still...
Hey, some people could just do it in a full body cast.
He's still moving.
Barely, he's in a full cast. 252 WCMF. Again, we're talking about this 74-year-old man. He was arrested for a routine traffic stop, not maintaining his lane. There was something suspicious when police pulled him over. They got him out of the car, searched him, and police say they found 500 milligrams of cocaine on a 74-year-old man.
Grandpa Bump.
Chris writes us on Instagram, Duffy on WCMF. Don't forget cocaine was used as a medical drug back in the day. In the 1800s.
Yeah, that is true. Like, you could get it through a Sears catalog. You could get cocaine, syringes, all that stuff.
Okay.
And people use it, you know, to fight pain.
I think what Chris is arguing here is this man may have been using it. He would have to be 145 years old for this to be a standard thing he did. No, because you jumped on. Yeah. It used to be a medicine.
Didn't it used to be an actual Coca-Cola at one point?
Yes, that's why it's, there was
that Coke. Was the real Coke with the real people. You had a rum and Coke back then, man. You knew it.
Bro, they took cocaine out of it in, like, the late 1800s.
Yeah.
Back when America was great, where you could have cocaine in your Coca-Cola.
How cool would that be?
Dumbass. And, like, the funniest part about this,
was it?
Right, is you sit here and you're all like, yeah, man, cocaine's cool. Do cocaine, kids.
And I know you're going to bring up Len Bias.
Well, that's why I never did cocaine, is because Len Bias, the basketball player, died doing cocaine. Reportedly, the first time he ever did it, overdosed.
It also, go ahead.
The point I'm making is, he sits here, Kimmy, trying to be all cool. Hey, man, you know. If someone were to lay cocaine out in front of you, you'd run like a bitch.
Well, yeah, because I'm married. I get in trouble.
No, that's not it.
You blame your wife.
It ain't married. Because you.
You wouldn't even do an edible.
You bet.
You think you're going to, like, jump right in on the cocaine?
Doctor says I got to lay off.
Oh, the guy says you got to lay off the edibles, but the cocaine department was totally fine. Tommy, no marijuana, but all the cocaine you want.
I also would think, like, at that age, something as simple as like too much sugar would give you the boost you need. Like, it doesn't seem like you need the cocaine. Like, there are lesser things that are going to give you a boost to get you through the day.
Well, you can't have decaffeinated. Well, maybe decaffeinated coffee.
Well, no, you just put a little coke in it.
Ooh.
The other weird thing to me about being 74 and doing cocaine, if the allegations here are true, or I mean, who knows? Maybe he was just selling it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe it was somebody else's.
Could have been his grandkids.
I didn't even know that was in my pocket. Right. You have talked about how you start to lose control of your own body as you get older.
Yes, you do.
Like, when Tommy has to take a dump, we know because he stands up and sprints to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Like, there ain't no time a wasting.
And you're not 74 yet, so I would imagine it's a harder thing for this man maybe to deal with. Why would you want to take a drug that would give you less control of a body you're losing control of?
Well, I don't know if you lose control with cocaine.
You're
more alert.
You, bro.
I mean, you're more.
Bro.
In tune to what's going on around you.
I've never done coke. I've watched dudes on coke. You can't sit here and tell me you have total control of your body.
Does anybody really have total control of their lives, Pat?
No, I didn't say life.
You know, the man's always hanging over you.
I didn't say life. I said your body.
My body.
Like, bro, how do you know? Like, right? Let's say you were the cool guy, quote, you think you are, and someone were to, you know, lay out a rail of coke in front of you. Ooh. How do you know once you did it, you wouldn't immediately poop your pants?
Well, I mean, it would be worth a shot.
I did
would
coke it? And poop my pants is my favorite Ribs Arkansas song. And it wouldn't be worth a shot because
you wouldn't
look
cool.
Grandpa
again.
Took a bump, then he took a wicked dump. It smelled in four counties.
I think the worst part here is, but, you know, we don't know anything about this guy. No. And again, these are all just allegations. But at 74 years old, it's possible he has children and grandchildren.
Sure.
Maybe
even family members, younger family members.
Great-grandchildren, yes. Possibly, yeah. Right? If your grandpa gets arrested for cocaine possession, how does that affect the family moving forward?
It'd be an awkward Thanksgiving.
Yes. Father's Day would be a little different.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, you know what to get him.
Oh, yeah, buddy. If you can afford it.
Because, like, I think we all have an image in our head of what this person looks like. And maybe this is something where you look at the guy and you know, yeah, maybe probably he's, you know, if the allegation is true, he's doing something. But if this is something that his family wouldn't be able to comprehend, and you wouldn't ever in a million years, no matter what your grandpa looks like, Kimmy, think your grandpa was doing coke.
But there are scuzzy grandpas.
Yeah, no, I know.
I mean, there's grandpas that do all kind of heinous things privately. You may never know. He may take it to his grave.
But that's what I mean. It would be private.
Yeah.
So, like, how you would, let's say, because at 74, he could have a 18 to 20-year-old grandkid.
Right.
How I would, what, the image of my grandfather, how different it would be if he was arrested for possession of cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be any great thing that grandpa did up to that point would be totally wiped away.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
You don't
because
think so?
The guy's got a flaw. He does something. If the guy did some great stuff, why would that change it?
It's not about the flaw. It's about the shock.
Oh.
I would have never seen it coming in a million years.
I mean, I always figure, like, my grandparents, but you know, they all did terrible stuff that they just hid.
I don't even know. I'm not saying being a drug addict is a terrible thing. I'm saying, like,
I'm saying my grandparents were terrible.
No, I know. I mean, we've heard stories about having.
I told you, my grandmother was a straight-up dick. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Your thing was better than my thing. Was it your grandfather that had to escape New Orleans after impregnating a 14-year-old girl?
Those are the allegations.
Okay.
But talk to the president.
Uh-huh. Yeah, gotcha. Actually, don't do that either. This business shouldn't exist.
Oh.
And look, here's the thing. I do not fault the folks who open these businesses because if you have an opportunity to get your money, get your money.
Okay.
But the fact that they can make money doing this is insane because there is not a valid argument as to why you can't go do this yourself.
Oh, it's a great business. And by the way, you're somebody I would think would love it.
I'm not going to spend money when I can just leave it there.
Well, you're a leave it there guy.
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF, one of the fastest growing businesses in the greater Rochester area.
Yeah.
Companies that will come and pick up the dog crap in your yard.
Mm-hmm.
So there are like five or six places that we are aware of right now that you can call who exclusively will come to your house as the snow melts and pick up all of the dog crap.
Call of Duty is really good. That's an actual business.
Boo.
It's a business about Call of Duty.
I'm booing them. Boo.
Are you going to kill a guy's business?
Yes, boo. I respect your
100
business.
Duty?
I would say within like the next month or so, we start getting all the flyers.
Oh, yeah.
We get a ton of them. You see it everywhere.
So I have a friend of mine who has this done, and he explained to me they do it in two ways. Either you can have one pickup as the season starts, like as the snow melts, and they'll pick up all your dog crap that was there. You can also sign up for a weekly or a monthly plan.
So the guy knew, that's how I thought most people did it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was under the impression when I first saw this that I was like, how do they make money? You're only doing this one, what, for 2 weeks out of the year. But no, people are paying someone weekly to come pick up their
cocaine. Especially when the weather sucks, it's great.
My brother and my sister-in-law did this because they had like a pretty big yard and two dogs. And when that snow melted, like it was, it could take out. Like they paid by the hour, I think, to have it done. So I think it maybe took like an hour and a half for these people to go through their yard and pick everything.
It's a pain in the ass picking that stuff up, especially when it's kind of soggy.
Okay.
And you got like, and you're just plopping it in this bucket.
Okay, this is straight up lazy. Straight up lazy.
Well, you would know. But you're the lazier one. You don't even pick it up.
Well, that's why my grass is greener than yours.
But I told you, the guy I knew that did this, he did it on a motorcycle. And he would come to your house for $5 a visit. And he would pick up all your crap, and then he would bag it and put it in his saddlebag and leave your house on a motorcycle.
Oh, you're talking about smelly sacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Okay.
Stank sack.
If we look at the stuff you can pay people to do in your yard on your property, you can make an argument that most of it is for safety's sake. If you don't want to have a heart attack shoveling the snow, you hire a plow guy.
Yeah.
Same with the lawn, right? People can have
landscapers.
Yeah, exactly. All this stuff. You don't want to crack your skull putting up Christmas lights. You hire those folks. You are paying more for comfort and safety than for laziness. Mm-hmm. This business exists strictly because of laziness.
Yeah.
Let's be real, man. How long does it take you to clean up dumps?
It doesn't take long. It's just a gross, nobody wants to do a job.
Lazy. Like, you can't sit here and tell me things are going really bad. Let me put it this way. If you pay for someone to come clean up dumps in your yard, I do not want to see a single post on Facebook about how hard things are financially for
you. Well, yes, that is very much a luxury.
No, but here's the thing. It's not. Like, the fact that there are so many of these businesses existing tells me that this is not something that only, like, the wealthy in the greater Rochester area are doing. This is now, like, a common thing.
Well, it's probably fairly reasonable service to pay for. Compared to those other services you talked about, like putting up Christmas lights, that's thousands of dollars a season.
To get your lawn mowed, not cheap.
Yeah.
Getting your lawn mowed could be $50 a round.
All right.
This guy could probably do it for under $20.
Phone numbers, too. You're basing your numbers on a guy from 25 years ago.
I think it's more than that now, just because there's so much.
I don't know. There's a lot of competition. Bring the price down.
It costs $20 to drive out to wherever he's got to go to pick up the dumps.
Yeah, but once he gets to that neighborhood, he gets a lot of,
a lot of dump.
Call of Duty dumps.
252 WCMF. Here's what I'm curious about. With these businesses that are now opening in the greater Rochester area, that they will take your money to come and clean up the dog dumps in your yard. Has anyone done this before? And what does it cost for a service like this? Because there is...
After you just called everybody lazy and privileged.
Oh, yeah. You're all lazy and privileged. Yes. But please, I would like to know how lazy and privileged you are that you're paying for this. There is a massive problem with this business model.
What's the problem?
Okay. Anyone with a dog knows that you can scour your yard for an hour if you want to. Mm. You can go through it with a fine-tooth comb. You can think you got every piece of crap. And then one day you will walk outside and step in a giant dump you didn't see. There is no way that any of these companies that do this can guarantee that every dump gets picked up.
Yes,
it's impossible.
They go through it, bro.
I think they have a strategy.
Yeah.
No, I understand.
They go out there with a smell-o-meter. They know where that stuff is.
And even if they missed like one or two, they still saved you a ton of time.
And they'll be back next round to get that one.
Kimmy, let me present a scenario to you.
Is Pat Scenario here?
Yeah.
My favorite Italian? It's Pat Scenario. What if your mother was out there?
But when the snow melts, you don't go and pick up all the dog crap?
No, he doesn't.
You got two dogs.
Yeah, it's fine.
Wait, do they dump on your deck too?
No. They don't go to the deck. No, because my Bassett's got a bad back. I can't let him up on the deck.
Right. How do your kids play in the yard?
There's areas where, there's specific areas where my dogs will go. They don't go through the whole yard.
Right.
So anyway, what I'm saying is, Kimmy, let's say you pay one of these companies to come out and do it. And you're right. Look, I don't blame them for missing one or two. That will happen. And you spend this money and you don't have to do it. And you walk outside and you step in a big honking dump.
Yeah,
you can't tell me,
though,
my God, I paid. I expect this kind of service.
Maybe. I think it's still worth it for people, though.
Well, yes, if it was... If he missed the one right by the door,
Whoa.
But if it's all the way out in the back of the yard,
I paid for you to go through my whole yard, and I stepped in a giant dump. I paid for no dump stepping.
I mean, I would. I mean, I pick up mine, but it'd be nice not to.
No, you barehand yours.
Yes, I do, and it grosses my wife out. But if I'm already out there working in the yard, what's the difference?
That's the point I'm making.
I mean, I'm digging in the, you're already filthy.
No, but you're arguing my point is if you're already out there mowing the lawn or out doing stuff in the yard, why not just pick up the dumps and chuck them?
I know, but these probably are people like you who don't like to do anything in the yard.
Nobody likes to do anything. Guys convince themselves they like to do it because you have nothing
exercise.
Else to do. See, there you go. Here we go. It's good exercise. Gets me out of the sun. You know,
I get my steppers in. I stay active.
252 WCMF. All right, this is a joke.
All right.
This is a joke. Jim writes us on Instagram, Duffy and WCMF. Some of these companies will send your dog's poop to the vet for analysis. That's just making up stuff to try and get you.
Well,
there.
I don't. Really? Why? Because I thought like it had to be pretty fresh to get anything out of it.
Yeah,
you know
it's
I mean?
Like be
you
like
can't
right
sit
away.
Outside all winter.
Are you breaking down how fresh dog dumps have to be?
Well,
to
like
get
when
yeah,
if your vet asks you to like collect it,
it's got
to
be steaming.
It can't.
Like,
be
it's got to be so like steaming up in that little Ziploc.
I don't think it could sit outside all winter and still give you any information.
Well, if you're doing it week by week, though, you find the freshest
maybe.
One.
Yes.
Right.
All right.
Would you do this job? How much would you have to get paid per hour to pick up dog dumps for a living?
I think if in retirement, it wouldn't be the worst gig.
What if you did, well, yeah, if you got like $50 an hour?
Nobody's going to pay you $50 an
yes,
hour.
They will. I think it's about
really? Because I just heard in the gym break room, it's like $20 an hour.
Like I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, my brother and his wife paid like $100.
Okay.
I mean, they have a pretty big yard, but I think it was about $100.
All right,
I would do this in retirement. I would do this. It would be nice.
You're too lazy to
no,
do
No, but
this.
I do it in my own house anyway.
No, but you barehanded into somebody's woods. Like, this is the opposite.
Well, yeah, I mean, there'll be some legal work. We'll
not even your tree.
Wrangle through.
Look me in the face right now. So if what Kimmy is saying is true, and there are people paying $50 an hour.
I'm in.
If you, no. Not that you would do this for a living. Because you're too lazy. If you found out that a friend of ours was spending $50 an hour. Okay, so there you go.
Because our friends are douches.
No, I mean,
half of them are too fat to bend over.
Too fat to bend.
Bro, they're all fatties. Can you name one of our buddies that ain't a fat flabby?
I can name like five.
That ain't flabby?
What, Vinny's flabby?
Who?
You heard what I said.
I didn't hear.
Vinny? He's flabby?
You shocked him.
Flabby Vinny?
He's porking up, man. He's out there. He's eating good, man. He's eating. He's got the new old lady. He's eating good.
You took it too far.
I know.
You brought the name
well,
up.
Well, you asked for a name, and I gave it to you. In Shape Vinny is what they call him out that way.
He used to be in shape. Well, yeah, you get old. You let yourself go.
We got Instagram messages coming in. Duffy at WCMF, easiest way to get us. Jess writes us, I pay a company $27 a week to clean up after my three dogs. So worth the money.
27 is cheap.
Okay.
Now you're in my range.
Why have a dog?
What do you mean?
This is the, like, if there's one thing, I understand that when you buy a dog, if you've never had a dog before, there are things that will present themselves.
Well, they'll work.
That you don't know.
Yeah.
And they're expense.
Yes. But, like, the first thing that everybody knows about having a dog, in fact, it's a reason why you buy it for kids to teach them responsibility, is you're going to have to clean up after it.
Yeah.
If you're not even willing to clean up after it, why have a dog? Why?
Well,
I mean, I guess, but if you could, if for under $50, somebody could come and do it for you.
And you spend more time with your dog than picking up the dog.
No, you're not spending time
time with your dog.
You know, actually, in picking up its dumps, you're spending quality time with the dog because the dog's going to follow you, sniff its own dump, and watch you pick it up.
It does do that. And I always love when you're doing it and they dump while you're picking it up. Well, yeah, you missed
one. Got
one
more for you.
How you like me now?
Like a nice fresh steamer.
Oh, man. So, look, you can start one of these businesses.
You know what? You know?
What?
When you guys throw me out of here, I might do it.
Oh, wait, we have that power?
Get out.
Sure you do. There's nobody else around.
Well, I would be our first example of picking up and getting rid of a steaming pile of dump. Tommy, up to this point, in the state of New York, alcohol and cannabis have not mixed.
Yes.
But that could be changing.
Really?
This has some people upset saying it goes too far. It has other people upset saying this does not go far enough. But if one local politician has his way, the next time you walk in the liquor store, you could have an opportunity to get high. You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Thomas, a local lawmaker has proposed new state legislation.
What are they saying?
So, Tommy, you're familiar with cannabis-infused drinks?
Yeah.
All right, so it's exactly what it sounds like. Kimmy, have you tried these things before?
Yep.
What do you
think? I've actually been to bars that sell them as an option.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Well, what do you...
You know, she hits the green mile.
Hits the green mile.
Oh, yeah, she's out on a party trip.
Only Tommy Mulay could make marijuana not cool.
I know.
Cool.
Yeah.
Earn her crypto cuties out partying, flashing her credit cards downtown.
Kimmy, do these drinks actually get you high?
So, like, I think you can buy them in different amounts. Okay. Like, so you can buy, like, a really low one that might just give you a little bit of a buzz, I guess.
But, like, if I drank one that was strong enough, it would feel like smoking a joint.
It would feel like taking, like, an edible or something, okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. So, yeah. Right now, outside of what Kimmy said, buying them at bars sometimes, you can only get these cannabis-infused drinks at cannabis dispensaries. But if Senator Jeremy Cooney, local here, has his way, liquor stores will now be able to carry them as well.
Okay. So I mean, it's not really killing anybody's business. It's only one product.
So put a pin in that. If this were to pass, there would be a limit on the strength of the weed drinks, as Kimmy brought up. Liquor stores would be able to sell cannabis drinks up to 5 milligrams. I don't know if that is that strong?
If you don't normally do it, it'll definitely hit you.
Okay. All right. All right.
The liquor stores would also have to apply for a separate license to be legally allowed to sell these cannabis drinks. 252 WCMF, are we cool with this?
Yeah, idea? Why not? Yeah. I mean, it ain't for me, but let people have what they want.
Just get high.
Yes. Let's have some fun.
Kimmy?
Yeah.
Party.
Are you cool with this idea?
I like having that as an option, but I...
At the liquor store?
Yeah, because I think if I'm going to go, if I'm looking to... stock up, I guess, on my cannabis products. I'm still going to the dispensaries to do that. I don't know how many options you're going to have at a liquor store. It might just be something like you see and be like, yeah, I want to try that. I don't know if you're going to get like a regular crowd that goes to buy this kind of stuff at a liquor store.
So I'll tell you who doesn't love this idea.
I'm a pop liquor.
Owners of dispensaries.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, I guess it still does take away from their business.
So the argument from some of these dispensary owners against this idea is they have had to pay a fortune for what they believed would be exclusive rights to sell pot-related products. And one of the arguments I saw from a dispensary owner is he's not allowed to sell Jack Daniels whenever he wants. Does he have a point?
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
I mean, if they did sign something that says, you know, you got the rights to it.
No, I don't know what they signed, but they were under the impression that we will be the ones selling marijuana, they'll be the ones selling liquor.
I mean, it is only one product.
But, I mean, let me try this again.
Yeah.
I am curious how much money is made with these drinks by dispensaries, because it's an easy way to get into the I'd like to get high game.
Yeah.
It's a less scary, it's, you know, if you don't smoke, you may not want to join. People are terrified of edibles, but these drinks are simple.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I guess when I've gone to dispensaries, I really never see anybody purchasing the drinks. Like, it doesn't seem like a very popular product for regular potheads. But, so I don't know. Like, this you may get more like the casual, let me try this once or twice person.
I think that makes the
point. But that person may not walk into a dispensary anyways.
Okay.
I don't know.
Fair enough. Well, to Kimmy's point, you know, with the dispensary owner saying they don't like this, it goes too far.
Yeah.
There are other folks, Tommy, saying that selling 5 milligrams worth of cannabis drinks in liquor stores doesn't go far enough.
Oh.
They argue that drinks of that strength or less should be allowed in places like gas stations and convenience stores. They point to malt liquor and alcoholic energy drinks to make the argument those do way more damage to someone's sobriety than a 5 milligram weed drink.
So basically they're calling it a beer. Like if they sell beer there, why can't they sell this?
That is their argument.
So then you would be in Wegmans. At some point, you'd probably be in a Wegmans too, then.
Would Wegmans want to carry that product?
Well, they carry every beer in the world.
Yeah, I mean, but I could see them catch it again. I agree with you. I don't see much difference between alcohol and cannabis.
Yeah.
But 40% of New York State still does.
All right. I mean, you think it might hurt their image.
Would the blowback be enough where Wegmans wouldn't want to touch this?
Yeah, maybe.
So what, you think they should sell cannabis drinks at gas stations?
Yeah, why not? I mean, you can get beer there. Yeah, I think you can buy cheap wine there.
No.
The cannabis drinks.
Those wine coolers and all that stuff?
Wine coolers is not wine.
Wine coolers is wine.
And by the way, what, did you go to a 7-Eleven in 1987?
Where they don't sell TJ Swan anymore?
A couple of Bartles and James, maybe?
or some nitrate.
These drinks are expensive, too. I mean, they're not going to be like a cheap grab it off the shelf. Like, you're going to have to invest a little bit.
Is it like a can or is it a bottle?
It's the ones I've seen are in a can, usually. Oh. I don't know if they sell them in different forms.
Why? You like weed in a can?
I like to, yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Bro, I just got approved.
What? You hooked up?
My license. I got approved for my license.
You didn't tell me
this.
My
new dispensary.
Where's it at?
Oh, it's in the men's room.
Oh. What's it called?
It's called Uncle Pat's Marijuana Dispensary. Bend over, close your eyes. I'll give it right to you in the can. Sauce. 252-WCMF, Jeremy Cooney, local politician, has presented a bill that would allow liquor stores in New York State to sell cannabis-infused drinks up to 5 milligrams in strength. He is arguing, and other people are arguing, you know, with the hit that liquor stores have taken, tariffs have been banging them up a little bit, people not drinking as much have been banging up a little bit. It gives them an opportunity to create revenue in a new place.
Yeah.
Folks that own dispensaries, however, are arguing, hey, we thought we were the ones selling marijuana. They were the ones selling liquor. This isn't fair. Other folks are saying, hey, it shouldn't just be the liquor stores. I should be able to walk into a 7-Eleven and buy a whole bunch of weed drink. Kimmy, when you say these things aren't cheap, give me an idea of what something like this would cost.
Like per can?
Yeah, in a can.
What do you charge?
It's free for you, baby.
So I think they usually come in like 4-packs. The ones I've seen average like $10 to $12 a can.
Holy crap!
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
How long does that buzz last?
But those might be higher percentage THC. So I don't know, like a 5. Let me see. I can look
but
up.
I would say like if that one can carried me for the night, that's not bad for $10.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean.
Right?
Well, I would be afraid that they taste good.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Oh yeah,
like you'd want.
Yeah, you gotta sip them slowly.
Yeah, 4 in a row.
What if they pair really good with like different foods too? That'd be nice.
Okay, what a Pittsburgh thing to say. You're a
how they pair.
You're a weed drink sommelier.
Yeah, with like you know like grilled grouper.
Instagram messages coming in. Duffy at WCMF.
Okay. Yeah, so this is saying like $4 to $8 a can, depending on the brand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dalton writes us on Instagram. As an enthusiast, it's somebody who spends a lot. Okay, let me try this again. As an enthusiast and someone who spends a lot at dispensaries, not just here in New York, but across the country, I can say cannabis-infused drinks, probably the least thing people are buying when they go to dispensaries.
All right, so it probably isn't really hurting them then to have it in these other places.
Yeah, like...
To Kimmy's point.
Yeah, like if you're sitting down at a bar, it makes sense to get a drink because you're sipping on something like everybody else is.
Okay.
But like if I'm looking just to get cannabis products, I don't know if your go-to is necessarily... A drink.
All right, but then counterpoint then, if it's not going to do all that much, what's the point of putting them in liquor stores anyway? Who cares?
Oh, no, it still does something. It's more just, I think it's more of like a social.
No, what I mean is drink. If it's not going to, if they're not selling like crazy.
It's not going to help the liquor store.
Yeah, I mean, how much does it help the liquor store putting them
in? It may not, but at least Cooney's just trying to throw him a bone.
No, look, I'm not, I get where he's coming from.
Yeah, he's trying to help guys out.
I think the criticism from the folks that are against this is a valid criticism. And again, like, here comes a slippery slope of like, we should have it everywhere. I should have a man on the street handing me cannabis infused drinks whenever I want them. This could also be something that unlocks another controversial idea as far as who gets to sell what.
What's that?
For the last 30 years, mm-hmm. folks have been fighting for grocery stores to be able to sell wine.
Yeah.
Right? The holdup has been local liquor stores because there are mom-and-pop liquor stores who say they will not be able to survive if Tops and Wegmans and Whole Foods start selling booze. Something you've said for years was a lie. You don't believe them.
I mean, I've seen it in other states that have this, and they still have wine and liquor. Florida is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we were just down there,
yeah.
And Publix can sell it. But
No, I'm just talking to Kim. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, they're going to ooh me.
No. Ooh. No, go ahead.
Anyway, but I mean, but we went to a wine warehouse to get booze, but you can also get it at Publix.
You know, Kimmy, that mom and pop warehouse.
No, but it's a warehouse, but that doesn't compete with Publix.
Why is Wine Warehouse a chain of liquor stores?
It's called Total Wine.
That doesn't sound like Dave's Liquor.
No, but there was regular liquor stores too.
You just made that part up at the end.
I don't know.
I guess what I'm saying is if you allow these cannabis drinks in liquor stores, it gives the argument for the grocery stores to come back to the state and be like, wait a minute, why can they sell cannabis and we can't sell wine?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, you may be...
I think in the end, these grocery stores are going to win.
You've been saying that for 30 years.
Yeah, but yeah. I think...
But soon, though, soon.
Danny's got to have enough muscle to start turning the screws in Albany to make it happen.
The grocery store lobby has spent tens, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, because again, you're going to kill a business. You're going to kill an entire industry in liquor stores. 252-WCMF. Let's talk to Mary. Hey, Mary, how are you?
Hey there. Good morning.
Hi.
I always thought maybe they should come back out with the original Coca-Cola recipe with the cocaine in it.
It's a double Coca-Cola cocaine reference today.
Yeah. And then we'd pick up our own dog poop. You know what I mean? We'd give us energy.
No, you're absolutely right, Mary. That's a good call. Very good. Thank you for the call. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Have a good day.
Mary, hold on. Do you do the cannabis thing?
Do I do the cannabis thing?
Do you
like drinking it?
No. Do you get high?
Yes.
Okay. But
yeah, look at her outfits.
Well, that's why I figured. I was just asking. Brad
lives in peasant skirts.
Do you buy from the state? Do you grow your own, or do you buy from someone under the tea?
Both.
Gotcha.
From the state and from somebody I know.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know how she's been buying it for years.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I'm always curious about the folks that have been doing it for a long time, Mary. Like, when it comes to the stuff that you use now, are you exclusively a smoker, or did you branch out into these new products that showed up once it became legal?
I do some edibles.
Okay.
I do some edibles.
She also trims her pubes with a hatchet.
Must you, Tommy? I can't wait to see you crawling around outside picking up dog poop.
You be the first one to hire him. Hire him. Be the first one and just humiliate him while he's doing it.
He's close to the ground. You know, that's good. You know,
Mary, thank you for the call. Have a good rest of the day.
Bye.
There goes pot smoking Mary. Mary Hatchet, they call her. I mean, look, the bottom line is this.
What's that?
Even right now with mom and pop liquor stores not doing great. We talked about folks are drinking less. That's hurting their bottom line. Beverages coming from outside the U.S. cost more due to tariffs. That's hurting the bottom line. So any help will be welcome, right?
Yeah.
But the dispensary owners do have a valid point, and it does feel like since the beginning of marijuana being legalized in New York State, it has been one thing after another that these dispensary owners have had to deal with.
True.
Right? Like, it's just problem after problem. Nothing has been easy for them.
Yeah.
Nothing they've been... A lot of promises that were made to them, not that they've been broken, but it's kind of like the long way to get there.
Yeah, there's a lot of hoops.
I would be upset if I owned a dispensary waking up to see this story.
But I bet you they're making big bank, these joints.
Are they?
They got no competition in their town. There's only one in every town.
That's not true. Henrietta has like seven.
They do?
They're more and more popping up.
Oh.
There's a dispensary opening like once a week in the greater Rochester area.
Oh, I wonder though if they were so in the hole from like, remember we talked about how they had to like rent certain spaces and they lost a lot like just getting into it in the first place, that they're, you know, they kind of start out on a tough spot.
Yeah. But I don't know. I would be pissed. I've put all this money in. I've had to build this customer base. More and more people are getting licenses to open up dispensaries, which is fine. That's capitalism.
Yeah.
Right? But like now you're going to take this and put it in another place?
All right.